Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Gorgeous, a Commander in Briefs novel by Christy Marie, narrated by Amelie Griffin and Nelson Hobbs. My past has a face. It's not bloody and riddled with scars. It's not filled with pain and regret. Instead, it's the light among the dark. Beauty among the ugly, laughter among the cries, freedom from the chains, the key to forgiveness, my truth, my demise. Prologue. Breck.
Brennan, is your family religious? Because your sister is the answer to my prayers.
Shut up before she hears you.
I'm serious, Brennan. Is your dad a terrorist? Because your sister is the bomb.
Captain Jameson, sir, she will hear you.
Hey, Brennan's sister that's looking hot as fuck in the Spider-Man tank top. Are we in a museum? Because you're a work of art.
Drew, stop it with the lame pickup lines before your brother kicks your ass for hitting on Brennan's sister.
Lewis, Kate is too busy entertaining himself elsewhere to worry about what I'm doing. Shut up and go annoy someone else. Brennan and I need to chat with his sister.
The video on my laptop is blurry and slow to load, but the pickup lines come through loud and clear, and I turn the volume down so I don't wake up Jess in the next room. She's a night owl and considers the sun a devil. I don't know how we're best friends despite being total opposites. The only thing we have in common is our love of movies. Superhero movies, to be specific.
Really? He's not here? Move so I can look. I can't see over the enormous beaver you call a head.
Suck my nuts, Lewis. My head is not shaped like a pussy.
With all the shit-talking and pickup lines on the other end of my laptop, my small bedroom feels much like a bar right before closing. I'm ready to fire back at the obviously bored Marines when my brother's big brown eyes and his even bigger smile fill my laptop screen. Lopsided and curious, Bennett's grin reminds me why I look forward to every Tuesday. At 19 years old, Bennett Brennan has become my tribe, my sleighmate, my weirdo, my bubba, my annoying big brother. He's the only good that has come out of the Brennan family, besides yours truly, of course. Best friends seems cliche for what Bennett and I have, but that's exactly what we are. Only a year and a half apart, we complement each other in the strangest of ways. He's lied for me, he's fought for me, and he won't ever admit it, but he's cried with me too. The goofball is all the family I have, and the throb in my chest proves how much I've missed him these past 6 months while he's been deployed.
B!
His bottom lip pulls to one side, showcasing the subtle chip in his front tooth. A teenage injury from when he hoped to be a pro skateboarder. Insert extreme laughter here. The slight flaw is all that limits his smile from being labeled as perfect. I'm grinning back like a total weirdo when said smile drops into a frown, his eyes narrowing at the camera.
You've been working too much,
he accuses me from the other side of the world, pushing back a fatigue-clad leg whose face I can't see.
You're in college. Aren't college freshmen supposed to be partying?
Have fun, B. You deserve it. He hesitates, staring behind him at something I can't see, before he whispers,
Have you been getting the money I've been sending?
I swallow hard and sell him a feigned smile that will convince him everything is peachy. I don't need him worrying about me when his company demands his focus. The military doesn't allow him to reveal where he is or what missions he goes on every day, But I recognize the misery in his eyes when he struggles to crack a joke about how badass he and the other Marines are, and that I shouldn't worry my pretty little head about him.
Hook me up, dude,
someone whines behind him. My eyes widen before I'm full-on grinning. These idiots make me laugh so hard. Who is that? I ask Bennett. My head tilted to the side, like it will help me see around his enormous head, which practically covers the whole screen.
Captain Drew Jameson, the Major's brother, he explains, gathering up the cords to the laptop he's using to Skype me. It's been a long few weeks, and he's getting out of hand.
Light flashes on the screen, and it goes quiet. Ben? You still there? His once pale face fills the screen, looking tanner than I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I only have so much room with the cords.
A door closes behind him, and he turns the screen, leaning his back against something hard, giving me a view of his face and something like an alley between their military tents.
Okay, sorry, is that better? Can you hear me better out here?
I take in his tired, worn face and give him a smile. Damn, I've missed him. I can hear you much better, I confirm softly. How have you been? Are you guys still playing softball in your downtime? Bennett has always had a ton of friends, unlike me, who prefers to keep to herself. I have one friend from school I've hung on to for the past several years named Jess. Then I have Milos, an online friend. And that's it for my limited social circle. It's not that I can't make friends. I'm just overly selective. I'm not a person who can handle fake bitches. Bennett, however, could make friends with a rock. A social person, just like our mother, he makes friends wherever he goes, which, if I'm being honest here, makes me a little jealous. Joining the military was a dream Bennett had as a child. He was determined not to inherit a position in our father's corrupt business. Once he turned 18, he gave my father the proverbial finger and enlisted against his wishes. The Jacob Brannan worked so hard to raise ruthless heirs to his poisonous throne, and we let him down by being decent humans. After Bennett made it through basic training, and my father realized he was never coming home, he cut off every accommodation, including care packages, while Ben was overseas. He's a royal asshole. Bennett was a hero in my mind. He pursued his dream and let no one or nothing stop him. I admired the hell out of him, and I wanted to be just like him. So, on my 18th birthday, I moved out of my parents' house, too. I wasn't going to college for business when I had my heart set on culinary arts. And I needed to give my father a colossal fuck you for abandoning Bennett when he joined the military. I haven't seen or spoken to them in a year. Bennett continues to send me money every month to use for student loans and housing, but I don't. Instead, I've been saving it for when he returns home, if he ever does. I spend 5 days a week working at a coffee shop, paying my own way. Bennett has sacrificed enough for me. I want to be sure he fulfills his dreams, too. It's the least I can do for him.
Hell yeah, we've been playing softball, he tells me excitedly. I hit a homer the other day.
He swings his arms in front of the camera, making this "ah" sound, like fans shouting for him. It makes me laugh. You're such a dork. He frowns, but isn't upset. If one of us didn't insult each other every call, then he would think something was up. It's how we show affection.
You're a dork, he argues. How is Jess? Has she asked about me?
Ugh. My brother and my best friend. Not going to happen. K
Can you say awkward? She asked if you were still lame, and... Something moves behind Ben, catching my attention. Is that... And, you were saying? Come on, B, don't leave me hanging. Farther down the alley, a guy in fatigues is leaning back against a tent. His pants... Oh, God. His pants are caught around his boots, his massive thighs straining and flexing, while he holds a head of hair in his fist, slamming a woman's face in between his legs. She's blowing the shit out of him, and my dumbass brother hasn't even noticed. I mean, seriously, B, has she asked about me? She writes to me, and we flirt, but do you... Ben, shut up. There's... I feel like I should Skype her one day. Would that be weird? I mean, she's your best friend and all. Bennett rambles on, insecure about his and Jess's feelings for one another, as I stare at the spot behind him. The giant of a man seems like he's staring at me as he crushes the poor girl's face onto his shaft. There's no way he can see me from that far away, right? It has to be like 10 or 12 feet. Maybe he can see the laptop, but not me. Because if he can, he would see the flush creeping up my neck, my eyes wide at watching him take what he needs from this girl who clearly is doing what many women wish they could do. He's gorgeous. And tall and built like a tank. I bet he has zero fat on his body. I can't see his hair since it's hidden by a military-issued hat, but his eyes, deep and soulful as they watch me, watching him, seem so haunted. B, yoo-hoo. Ben lets out a whistle and I refocus on my brother, and not on the fine piece of ass behind him. Just call her, dweeb. She'll talk to you. Unless you're being weird, like you are now. He makes a face and flips me off. I'm not being weird, I just... The guy behind him reaches behind his head, grabbing the back of his shirt, and removes it, draping it over the girl's head as if he's trying to keep her from view. His... Let's count them. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8... pack of abs. Holy alien babies, the dude is shredded. Each block of muscle flexes and clenches as his companion works him into a euphoric state. I'm watching this free porn with the same intensity that Jess and I had when we staked out our ex-boyfriend. He, too, was caught with some cheap floozy with his pants down around his ankles. Not that this girl is a floozy. She could be his girlfriend, for all I know. All I know is he's hot as hell, and I'm replacing the woman in my mind with a vision of me. The guy whose arms look like he spends more time in the gym than I would in a lifetime lets his head fall back against the tent. Holy shit! Is he coming? The woman's hands grip his hips, sticking out from beneath his shirt, while his dog tags bounce against his sweaty chest as he watches me, not her. I'm going to hell. Seriously, why can't I stop watching him? Why can't I focus on my dumb brother who is still going on about Jess? So you think I should? Call her, I mean? The sexy guy behind Ben pulls the girl up to her feet, and she dusts off her knees, handing him his shirt. She trails a nail down his bare chest before grabbing his dog tags and pulling him in for a kiss. He pulls his pants up, smacks her ass, and sends her off in the opposite direction. When she's gone, he strides forward, heading toward Ben. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Be cool, B. No way he knew you were watching him. He was too far away. But yet, I saw him.
Ugh, this is not good.
Who do you have here, Brennan?
Bennett jumps at the hottie's raspy voice behind him. He turns the camera, finally seeing we were not alone in the alley. The webcam refocuses as Bennett shuffles around awkwardly. And holy mother of all that is holy! The dark stubble blanketing the stranger's face, the sharp cut jawline, the square chin, and his emerald eyes have me. Bam! I'm pregnant. The man is freaking angelic. He doesn't look human as he bends down in the focus of the camera. Bennett smiles awkwardly, clearing his throat.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were out here, sir.
The guy shrugs in response, as if those bulky shoulders are saying,
It happens. This is my sister, B. B, this is my commanding officer, Major Jameson.
The Major Jameson. Bennett raves about his commanding officer. When he first enlisted, he was a wee bit of a pussy. Bennett was a privileged kid and had zero common sense. He claims he was hazed like a mofo, and things turned around for him after he was assigned to Jameson's unit. He became confident and more knowledgeable in all things adult-like. Bennett claimed Major took him under his wing and molded him into the man he is today. My brother respects the hell out of Cade. This fall, he will have served under Major Jameson for a year. I try for a smile and pull it together. Hi. Major Jameson cuts off my reciprocating greeting, nudging Bennett in the side.
Sister, huh? Might want to Skype her somewhere else so the guys don't see.
He shakes his head, catching my eyes before looking away.
They won't hesitate to get off on the sound of her voice.
Kind of like he just did. My mouth drops open. Was that supposed to be a compliment? I'm not sure, but I catch the slight twitch of Cade's lip, flashing me a playful wink as he disappears out of camera range, taking his phenomenal ass with him. Bennett glances behind him at Cade's departure and mutters out,
Yes, sir,
before turning back to me.
Did you know he was out here?
I will spare my brother the awkward and go with,
No, I had no idea.
Bennett and I speak a little longer before he has to go. I tell him that I miss him and that I love him, even if he is weirder than the lady with 20 cats down the road. We share a smile and then a laugh. He promises to call me next week, but he never does. That call was the last time I saw either of them. Bennett died 2 days later. Major Jameson was never heard from again. Chapter 1. Breck.
Dear B, I have to make this email short. I'm in desperate need of some shut-eye. I've been waking earlier than the platoon to condition with Major Jameson. I've been falling behind in our physical fitness assessments. Some days I think I've made a huge mistake enlisting in the Marines. What was I thinking, B? By the way, I saw your review of Kick-Ass. Perfectly written. Hashtag, you're still a loser, though. Private Bennett Brennan.
Are you sure you want to do this, B? I mean, I doubt he'll even recognize you. It's been 4 years since you've last seen him. I pause, dropping the yellow sundress into my suitcase. Actually, it's been 3 years and 11 months. But I don't want to argue with Jess and defend my actions, yet again, that moving from New York City to Georgia without a job to check up on a man who may or may not remember me is a good idea. I will admit, it sounded better in my head a few days ago. What happened to all that nonsense about living like we're 22?
I smirk at Jess, until I realize my mistake. Wait, no, I blurt out. But Jess is already smiling like she's got me exactly where she wants me. T-Swift sings dancing like she's 22, not living, Goober. Besides, you act like you're in your 50s and did not just turn 22. So technically, that phrase doesn't apply to you. Oh well, what's done is done. I admit with a shrug, wadding up my discarded dress and shoving it into my suitcase. The fact is, I made my decision and I'm sticking with it. Even if it is a terrible one. A stubborn bitch to a fault, I will fall on my sword before I admit to Jess that I might be questioning this decision a bit. She'll "I told you so" me for days. With an exaggerated and highly dramatic sigh, I meet Jess's pinched expression. I need to do this, I say with an air of confidence, my voice not nearly as shaky as when I chanted it last night into the bathroom mirror like I was doing some kind of Bloody Mary ritual. He needs help, Jess. I can't leave him out there all alone. I shrug my shoulders like this is all the explanation she needs to understand my rationale. I may not be a psychologist or anything, but I think I can find this man, a hero in my eyes, a place to stay, even if I might not have one myself. Jess doesn't agree. And like gum underneath the disgusting desks at our old high school, she's hardened and not letting go of the subject until I see her point. And right now, her point is simple. She thinks I'm being an idiot. I'll agree I'm being a bit irrational, but I've already decided. I'm doing this shit. Jess tries again, this time softening her normally sharp tone by reminding me. He has a family, Brack. He doesn't need you to come save him. Ugh. I know he does, Jess. It's like I'm talking to my grandma when I slow my words down so she can fully comprehend what I'm saying without having to repeat it a bazillion times. But you didn't see him, I say, snatching the newspaper article from my bag. The only way I can think to get her to understand the gravity of his situation. The paper's edges are crumpled from pulling it out, crying for the man my brother used to rave about being so full of life, but now only existing. I'll never forget his eyes. Haunting, yet sharp and aware. A jawline that is all straight lines and good bone structure from his Irish heritage. No. I could never forget Major Cade Jameson, as I blinked back tears and mourned the once strong, fearless leader my brother looked up to. There, in black and white, was a man in tattered rags, slumped in an alley, his head down as he ate something that looked like soup from a can. My heart spasmed in a painful beat as I looked on, reading the article about not enough space or resources to get the homeless off the street. Tears spattered the thin paper as I cried for my brother's hero. I cried for a man who gave everything for his country and was left hollow and empty inside. I tried for a couple years after Bennett's death to find Cade, but never could track his whereabouts. His parents hadn't seen him in years. It was like he disappeared until I found him by chance in the Madison Times, a freak happening I can only describe as fate. I received an email, meant for my father, about the possibility of buying up property in the small town of Madison, Georgia. I intended on forwarding it. I really did. But something about the headline stopped me. I had been searching for him, and he was there the whole time. He was homeless. And that's when I knew what I had to do. I owed it to Bennett. I owed it to Cade. I would give up my life here in New York and help Cade find a chance at a new one. Because Bennett would want me to. Glancing down at the newspaper clipping in my hand, I read it one more time because I'm a straight-up masochist. And I feed on the hurt that looking at this image makes me feel. Poverty on the rise in Madison. Many investors turning away from restoring the historic downtown due to a high volume of break-ins. Are the homeless to blame? The headline judges me, night after night, as I lay awake with a roof over my head and clean clothes on my back. Not that I live lavishly or anything. Jess and I share a squatty two-bedroom apartment in New York City, no thanks to any of my family. My father, fuck his soul, is a greedy piece of shit and keeps his money for himself and my mother. Ever since Bennett and I moved out, Bennett going into the military and me going to college for culinary arts, they abandoned us like the trash they thought we had become.
Brennans don't join the military. Brennans go to Georgetown like their ancestors and become wealthy businessmen and fuck people over at every opportunity.
Okay, he didn't say the last part. But that still doesn't make it any less true. Even after Bennett's death, my parents still ignored me like both of their children died from that bomb. Jess's sigh pulls my head up from the article. Her tortured expression breaks my heart. I don't want to leave her. She's the only family I have left. I've worked so hard here at the Culinary Institute of America to make something of myself. Top of my class, I scored the coveted internship at A Votre Goût after I graduated, working with head chef Philippe Christensen. It's my dream come true, and I'm giving it up. I know Jess thinks I'm crazy, and maybe I am, but I feel it deep in my heart that this is what I'm being called to do. Can you just wish me safe travels? I beg her, as tears clog my throat. My best friend sniffles, folding my Batman socks and placing them silently in my suitcase. Reaching across the mound of clothes, I pull her hand into my lap. And call me every day? I can't do this without you. Jess's chest heaves, and silent teardrops trail down her face, taking the mascara she applied perfectly this morning with them. I love you, dumbass, she sobs, pulling us together atop the mound of clothes. We lay there, crying in each other's arms, until the tears dry, and Jess says, Come on, let's go look in my closet for something for you to wear that doesn't look like you came from Comic-Con. Laughing, I lift off her chest, noticing the remnants of our cry fest on her silk shirt. My clothes are fine, I argue, but she waves me off, already up and headed to her room across the hall. B, if you want to score a piece of ass like Jameson, you're gonna have to up your game. I don't tell her I'm not going to fuck him. I want to help him. But it makes no difference to Jess. Help him or fuck him, either way, you dress with the intent of seduction. Wiping the last of my tears, I tuck the newspaper clipping in my pocket and follow her to her bedroom, where we inevitably cry again while promising to grow our small movie blog. Along with our online friend, Milos, our blog, The Three Musketeers, has been with us through everything. It's important that we keep it going. It's not long after our cry fest that Jess drives me to the bus station and refuses to tell me goodbye. I kiss her on the cheek anyway and wave at her from the window of the bus. She flips me off. Text me back, bitch. Breck, I swear, I will come find your ass. I'm getting really scared, B. Please call me. My phone buzzes with hateful love messages from Jess, but I can't bear to answer her right now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?